Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Danny Meringue.
Dusty Bun.
Dusty Hera.
I've been really busy. I'm trying to save the world from Russians and monsters.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader.
Of course you have.
1080.
I want to hear it.
The Fan.
Reach the stars.
Hour number three here on Danny and Dusty on a Thursday afternoon, whether you're watching along on or listening along on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us. As a quick reminder, a little show update.
Yeah.
Dusty and I will not be on air tomorrow. You will have primetime with Isaac and Suk from noon till 2. Then you'll have Ducks pregame.
I will be on
you will
24
be on.
Hours. From now.
From now.
Right yes. now. 24 hours.
And then you will also be down at the game working the sidelines.
I will be.
Working Michigan State, which we will talk about here in just a little bit. But first, it's Thursday afternoon. It's 2 o'clock, which means it's time for us to make our picks for the NFL week. Week number 5. Last week, or this weekend, I should say, 2 out of 3 of us had a good week.
Let's see how we're going to do it.
Two out of three of us. You know what? You had a great week last week, and you weren't here.
Yeah.
We were like, oh, Rust had a great week, and Dusty made your picks for you. I went 3-1. Dusty went 3-1. Jeff Rust, you went...
I believe 1-2-1.
You got a stinky turd on there?
Yeah.
2-1.
Yes, it was the...
Which makes you 9-6-1 on the season?
Mm.
Wow, Rust.
Yeah.
Wow.
But we are all still above 500.
Yep.
Dusty and I both 9-7. You are a half game back, 9-6-1.
No, he's not. He's up.
I'm sorry. You're up. Yes, I'm sorry.
Come on.
We are a half game back. My mistake.
Yeah. He's up in the loss column right now.
I'm babe. We'd love to see it. Well, you went 3-1 as well. So go ahead and lead us off.
All right. There's some stinky lines this week.
I actually like the lines.
The Vegas books are. They're trying to play some games right now.
Mm.
But what I do like, and for no other reason other than, oh my God, they got to be offended by this. And somebody has to score. I'm going to take the Raiders and Broncos over 35.5.
Oof. I mean, that's...
It's 35.5 combined points, for God's sakes. Can I get me a 20-17 game? Yeah. I think we can. I'm putting my faith in Minshew. I'm putting my faith in Bo Nix up in Mile High. Let's go.
Do you know how many points the Broncos are scoring per game right now?
Yeah, yes, I do. But did you also see what the weather of last week's game was?
I'm just saying. Do you know how many points? Because they're scoring 15.5 points a game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Only the Giants, Jags, Patriots, and Dolphins. Good God, the Dolphins are scoring 11 points.
Going to turn a corner this week. I'm taking the over 35.5.
Goodness gracious. I did not touch that. I can't do it. Can't touch that line.
I can.
I am going to ride what has been an incredibly hot train for me. I'm riding the Commanders as the favorites, -3.5 against the Browns. I just watched the lowly Raiders dog walk a Browns team while they were missing basically half of their starters.
Are we okay? Yeah, Commanders Browns.
Yeah.
Oh boy,
I'm taking the Commies -3.5.
All right, let's go.
Look, they've been scoring, man, let's and that Browns it. That Browns team can't score. They can't score.
They cannot score.
So I'm gonna look. Jade Daniels has been cooking, and that defense of the Browns, it was much valued, is beat up and maligned, and really hasn't been able to stop anyone. So
that's true.
I'm gonna look. I know it sounds stinky because we're talking about the Commanders and Browns.
Yeah.
But the level of stink is very different here.
All right. So which, going with the Commies,
I am, which feels weird, but I'm gonna do it. What you got, Rust?
I'm going to go to Minnesota, where we've got the Jets at the Vikings, and I'm going to steal a little something I saw earlier from Mina Kimes. I'm becoming a sympathizer.
Oh,
that's so good.
Right? And, yeah, Minnesota, the Jets, we still don't know really anything. But, yeah, I'm taking the Vikings -2.5.
All right, my second pick. I'm going Packers -3 at the Rams. Green Bay looking for a little bounce back, and the Rams are still beat up. They're beleaguered. It's tough.
You're believing in the Packers? Because Jordan Love looked like he was playing on one leg.
Yeah, I am. I don't care.
That's fine.
I mean, it's not like they were playing Sister Mary of the Poor. They were playing a 4-0 Minnesota Vikings team.
It's fair. Yeah. I felt like Jordan Love was definitely rushed back. He did not look like he should be playing.
Have you seen the Rams?
Fair. Fair. I think you could maybe let Malik Willis handle the Vikings game, and then maybe Jordan Love comes out against the Rams. But hey, that's just me. Pick number two. I am also going to go with those Vikings.
Didn't he throw for like 389 yards too? Well,
Love? Is that what he ended with? Because maybe I was looking at maybe in the third quarter, because he was like 13 of 28 at one point in time. He was not good.
He was 32 of 54 for 389 and 4 touchdowns.
Okay.
Three interceptions were really bad, though.
But he also threw the ball. How many times? 59?
54.
Yep. So he basically threw for like 54% completion percentage?
Yep.
I'm going to tell Jeff Ross here, Vikings -2.5 against the Jets. And it's not because I don't really know what the Jets are. I just feel like 2.5 is not enough points for the Vikings.
Yeah.
The Vikings have been, dare I say, the best team in football?
Yeah.
I think they have been.
That one is stinky, though. I don't know what they are.
There's something cooking up there, right?
Yeah.
2.5?
Like, why would you have that? That does not. Last week's line felt the same way, where they were +3 at Green Bay.
Which I took
Vegas
without
is
any issues.
Not. They are not.
They don't like the Vikings.
They're not
There's
on Sam
there.
Darnold
no.
yet. He is not caught up.
They are not sympathizers.
Yeah. And the injuries, too. Like TJ Hockenson, Jordan Addison just coming back.
Justin Jefferson.
You're going, what is going on with them?
But still,
so, I don't know.
2.5 just felt like it was like the Jets defense hasn't done anything to sway me any other way. What do you got, Jeff Rust?
For my second pick, I'm going to Houston, where the Buffalo Bills are 1-point favorites. Houston's just kind of been squeaking by some not great teams, and they got their butts handed to them by the Vikings. Meanwhile, Buffalo looks really good. Josh Allen playing really good. So that's another. That one also to me looks stinky. I don't know why it's only 1 point.
That was the stinkiest line of the book for me.
I realize it's at Houston, but yeah, give me Buffalo -1 on the road.
Stephon Diggs.
Don't like it.
Revenge game.
Yeah, just don't like it. It's just like. My third game, I'm going with the Saints at Chiefs over 43. Over 43.
How is that total only 43?
I don't know. That's why I'm picking it up and I'm running
with
it.
I know Chiefs haven't really been like explosive, but the Saints have.
Yeah, it's going to. I don't know. Maybe they just don't think that this is going to be the week that the Chiefs can't score without Rashee Rice.
This is a 21-20 game?
Yeah, maybe.
That's tough for me to see.
I'm taking the over on 43.
I am going to ride what has been one of the safest lines, unless they're playing the Raiders, any team playing the Panthers. So I'm taking the Bears -3.5 against the Panthers. The Bears are starting to look a little bit better. Little bit better. Caleb Williams is starting to have less stinky throws and more productive throws. Yeah. And I think against a Panthers team that has zero redeeming qualities defensively, it's a good place to kind of get rolling.
I'm going to go to Seattle for my next one, hosting the Giants. Well, we know the Giants are the Giants, and Seattle has looked really good outside of I don't see any reason why they can't cover 6.5 points unless they have Geno Smith back there throwing the ball 50-plus times again, which, you know. But anyway, yeah, I'll take Seattle minus 6.5.
Yeah, that one that's another one of those ones where I was like, it feels like the Seahawks should run away with this game. But I've also seen this Giants team buckle down defensively pretty good.
Yeah, Giants can play you close.
Yeah.
The Giants absolutely can play you close. And
but without Malik
Neighbors.
They have
a good pass rush on the outside. But that doesn't slow down. I mean, they're going to have problems scoring anyways. I kind of like the under in that game. But I am going to, with my final pick, go against Jeff Rust. I'm going with the road dog. I'm taking the Giants minus 6.5 because for this and this reason only. There have been 17 dogs of more than 6 points this season through the first 4 weeks of the NFL. They are 14-2-1 against the spread.
Ooh.
That's 87.5%. The dog is covering.
Yeah, Vegas is getting mopped this year on those.
That is the most in the highest percentage since 1960. Mm-hmm. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
And straight up, they're 9-8.
Yeah.
They have a winning, they have a over 500 win percentage as six or more dogs. So there were two lines. It was the Cardinals and the Niners and the Seahawks and the Giants. I flipped a coin. I went with the Giants.
I have picked a road dog every week, at least one, because that trend has been holding true. And my last pick is a road dog. The Bucks plus 2.5.
Well, that's not over 6.5.
Oh, no, no,
it's not over six.
But no, I'm saying
the road dog trend, road dogs have been decent, but not over six.
No, no, no. But I know.
They've been wildly.
But road dogs still have been good this season at the Falcons. I had this pop up right before we came into this segment. Kyle Pitts for the Falcons has topped 30 receiving yards once over the last six games.
Yikes.
That's no good.
That's tough, man. It doesn't really pertain to the bet, but it's just like one of those things where you talk about all the weapons that Kirk Cousins, the Falcons have. It's like, well, if one of your weapons is a cap gun.
I'm starting to think he just might not be that good.
Which is insane because his rookie year, he had over 1,000 yards receiving.
Yeah, because Arthur Smith, man. Such a good coordinator.
I don't understand it. Jeff Rush, what do you got for your last pick?
Well, I always got to pick my Jaguars game, and I'm scratching my head why I'm going this direction. But
somebody's got to win.
They're maybe getting better. And, you know, you got Joe Flacco back there slinging for the Colts now. So I'm taking Jacksonville at home minus 2.5.
All right. Like your Jags.
Take it to the limit.
They can get off the schneid.
Well, if they don't, Doug Peterson's going to get fired. Then they probably will get off the schneid.
I'm looking at that Buccaneers injury report.
Yeah, Antoine Winfield being out is not great.
Well, Jalen McMillan
is out. Two of their top four wide receivers.
Trey Palmer's out.
Yeah.
Gosh.
I know. Trust me, I know.
Elijah can't. Oh, my gosh. You got a tackle that's out.
Mm-hmm.
I did not. This just popped up. Yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah. But they've also still been wildly productive, and they've been dinged up all year already. Yeah. Like, they started the year with guys hurt.
Jeez.
So.
Louise.
I'm relying like how many Baker touchdown maker.
Yeah, that's a good one to go with. I'd rather go Baker touchdown maker than vanilla pudding Kirk Cousins.
All right, real quick, this is
vanilla pudding's good too. By the way,
well, you know it has its place.
Nothing wrong with it.
It has its place.
Yeah.
There are now reports coming out that the Atlanta Falcons pursued Baker Mayfield before ultimately doing a deal with Kirk Cousins.
Oh.
And that, to me, is the most insane, unhinged, ridiculous thing because, number one, Baker Mayfield's a better quarterback. Number two, Baker Mayfield signed for 3 years, $100 million, and $50 million guaranteed. Kirk Cousins signed for 4 years, $180 million, with $100 million guaranteed.
Yeah, so,
What the hell?
Well, what the hell is he didn't want to leave Tampa. He actually has a good thing going in Tampa. And despite Dave Canales leaving to go take over as a head coach in Carolina, that it's a better spot for him. And you have uncertainty. I think that this may be a sign of, dare I say, maturity with Baker Mayfield. Grass isn't always greener on the other side. You got a good thing going with a good locker room down there. Keep it rolling in Tampa, and that's exactly what he's done. So,
and it seems like his turn into success has kind of coincided with his maturing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Just figuring it out.
Maybe he not a big fan of Magic City, just a big fan of the establishments in Tampa, because apparently there's a lot of them.
Probably a Hooters.
Yeah, maybe he likes going and hanging out with the professional wrestlers that all live in Tampa.
I feel like Baker's the kind of guy that would definitely go to the bar, like the restaurant that you take like shots off the waitresses on.
Yeah.
Right? 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't say that like inflammatory or
no, in that's
a negative way.
Right?
Like, that's,
yeah.
Baker's here to party.
You suppose he's sleeping in the stadium there like he was in Cleveland?
Nah. That was a good commercial, too.
he's probably got a hammock somewhere, though.
It was a good, as one would in the greater Tampa area. Yeah.
Great thing about a hammock is even when a storm comes, I mean, you just hang it back up.
Ooh.
As long as you're not in it.
I love hammocks. Hammocks are really comfortable.
Well, they got to be big enough. You don't want the hammock that, like, swallows you and, like, you can't get out of.
Huh.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, well,
it has to be the right
size. I call those hippie hammocks.
Yeah.
Because they're like the nylon ones that are just like the tent. No, give me
the real
one. Like the rope one.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Give me the Jimmy Buffett hammock.
Yeah. Those are the ones.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are great.
See, I don't think I could give those a try because somebody around would have that, will pull out their phone camera and that'll go viral. Me trying to get in or out of a hammock.
I'm going to get you a hammock.
A little ring camera.
I'm just going to just have like closed circuit television because there's going to be a day. You're not going to do it a lot, but there'll be a day that Rust is listening to some yacht rock in the backyard.
That's a shame we got no trees on our lot.
All of a sudden, he's going to look around and be like, ooh, look at that. I have not tried that yet. And you're going to mosey on over and just done.
Yeah, it's going to be like a Looney Tunes cartoon.
I want this. I want it.
We don't have any trees on our lot, so that's a bummer.
Wow. All right.
Well, we'll have to figure it out for you. Mild derail, but that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Those are our picks for this week. Week 5, Stone Cold, Lead Pipe Locks. Put them up on the board.
Booyah!
We'll track them for you all season. Come in next week, we're going to pivot back to college football. The Ducks take on Michigan State tomorrow night down in Eugene. We'll dive into that game and more. Come up here next on Danny and Dusty, 10 of the Fan.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with the Gel Flex Grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few, but if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care, All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
The Oregon Ducks get underway with Big Ten play at home against the Michigan State Spartans tomorrow night. Kickoff is at 6, correct?
Yes, sir.
It's not 8 p.m., I'll tell you that.
Yeah, dude, 8 p.m. is brutal.
How did that feel from like a football standpoint? Like watching guys kind of go through their prep and be like starting to basically warm up when they would normally be kicking.
Oh, it was super weird because night before the game, like everything is based on routine, clock, and timing everything for optimal performance, right?
Mm-hmm.
So guys were up later than normal. Like it was, guys were up later than usual and kind of milling around. Like when the team meal was pushed way back because they want all of their clocks, and like your body gets used to when you eat breakfast, then lunch, then dinner, and how many hours before competition that is. And so everything was pushed so far back, and it was super weird just to kind of have it all so late in the day. But then when the game got started, it felt relatively normal until you got to the point where it was like, all right, UCLA doesn't got a chance for this.
Yeah.
Then like the energy just kind of was zapped from everybody. And it looked like UCLA just wanted to get home.
Everybody was just like, all right, let's keep the clock running. Let's
all
get out of here.
All the fans wanted to get home. And yeah, it was like kind of pound the rock territory. It would be really interesting if you had a close, good, competitive game, though, what that would feel like at 8, because, boy, it was late, man. I mean, there is a difference between, like, 7 and 8 o'clock kicks when it comes to the energy and environment. Well, and I guess being in the Rose Bowl wasn't kind of a really fair assessment of that. Those games are not – it's not the Rose Bowl.
No. It is for a game, a Rose Bowl, it's great.
It is a game at other. The Rose Bowl.
Any other's not great, Bob.
It is, and there's a huge difference there. But 6 o'clock on a Friday night, I hate this. I mean, Fridays are for high school football. Mm-hmm. I understand, you know, every network paid billions of dollars, and they want the inventory. But this is football, high school football is for Friday.
I mean, not only that, it's weird to see Big Ten on Friday. Like,
Look, and Oregon's got 2 of them this year. And that's
For a top 10 team in the country, that's a little weird.
Yeah.
You don't typically see that.
Look, we didn't really talk about this much last week. The fact that what the Pac-12 used to have was a rule that if you were going to play on any day except for Saturday, you had to bye the week before. Mm-hmm. Not only is there no bye the week before either one of these Friday games, mm-hmm. because there's 2 of them. They go Friday game, Ohio State on a Saturday, Friday game at Purdue.
Mm-hmm.
Not only is there no bye, but there's also a game on the road.
Obscene amount of travel.
You have to go on the road. And then on top of that, it's not like since you're going on the road, we're going to make sure you're in an early window.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was 8 o'clock p.m. on the road. And then even if it is a quote-unquote close opponent, right, they didn't get home till like 4:30 in the morning.
What time did you get home?
I got home 2 o'clock the next day. But I had to go to a day of soccer. But it was they got home at 4:30, like 4:30 in the morning, I guess, is when they rolled in. Like that's crazy talk. But I mean, they're kids, they bounce back, they're resilient, whatever.
Sure.
Everything looked fine. And it was wild that the Big Ten is new to this kind of, you know, what used to be Pac-12 after dark. They've never had these windows before. So this is all like kind of a learning experience for them too. But Michigan State coming in. Yeah, I know. Before the Ohio State game, this is a team that is finding its identity under Jonathan Smith. They're making no bones about it either. And I think that when you look at it, Aiden Childs is committed a ton of turnovers this year. I think he's at 5 touchdowns, 8 interceptions on the season. But I think with that, the offensive line play is not where Jonathan Stewart, I think, would want it, or Jonathan Smith would want it to be, or Michigan State. We talked with Noah Carter. It's not because they don't have explosive pieces, and this is kind of one of those things of a scary team with a coach in Jonathan Smith who is really stinking good at what he does in his craft, is that if it clicks, they could be very scary.
Sure.
Because Noah Carter is an explosive back. He's really productive. They are just not that this year. Aiden Childs, every Oregon State fan saw flashes of it last year. But if it clicks for him and they find a little bit of consistency, then they become a lot more terrifying. Right now, they're just middle of the pack at everything. Yeah. Everything that they do is middle to back
Nothing
end of
is
what the
lifting
Big Ten.
Everything else up. They don't have a wide receiver that makes things a little bit easier for Aiden Childs. The offensive line doesn't make it easier for, for their running game. Their defense is kind of bend, don't break. They don't have any pass rushers that kind of get after it, or a shutdown corner that can, you know, shut down a side of the field and allow you to focus on it. They're not bad, though. They're not the worst team you've ever seen. Mm-hmm. They're just... They're a 7-6 type team. Like, they're a bowl eligible team. That's what they feel like.
And you think of it, and you just got to go with what do they look like, and how much better are they if they're not turning the ball over as much as they are right now, right? Because turnovers are killers. It puts your defense in a really tough spot, and it puts you in a bind. And when you turn the ball over, you can hop on the struggle bus for your defense as well, because offense feeds off a defense and vice versa. Right now, with the way that Oregon has played over the last 2 weeks, I mean, they're still looking for that complete performance, that complete game, because as good as the Oregon State game was, you know, it was slow out of the gate. As good as UCLA was out of the gate, it got slow and clunky in the middle of it. Obviously, Dylan Gabriel throws a pick six at the end of the first half, but your defense doesn't give up a touchdown the entire game. But then UCLA comes out in the third quarter and kind of runs the ball on you. Like, they're still looking for that complete performance. And, you know, that's a nice dangling carrot to have prior to a big matchup against Ohio State, because that game is going to be the one that everybody's had this one circled for a really long time, and rightfully so. For Duck fans, it's been since 2020 when Ohio State was supposed to return a trip out here and COVID popped up and couldn't do it, right? So this has been a long time coming, having the Buckeyes come to Eugene. But as it pertains to Michigan State, they are a team that, like we said, they have guys that are good enough to beat
you. Take a look at Aiden
Childs. If they click, but they're just very middle of the Big Ten right now.
Take out his two worst performances, which are at BC and against FAU. He was 10 of 24 with two picks against FAU, and I think a lot of that had to do with probably first start, you know, still trying to figure stuff out. And then against BC, the picks. He was 17 of 35, 48% completion percentage, three picks.
Yep.
You take those other games out, he's completing 65% of his passes, and he's got five touchdowns and three picks, which is significantly better. I mean, the completion percentage is way up. The touchdown interception ratio, way up. Like, everything is, but those two games, but I think that's where the inexperience shows, right? And that's your new teammates, new conference. I mean, even John Smith is going to run his concepts, and he's going to tailor them to Aiden Childs. But those are some of the things that you're kind of dealing with that. And I don't look at this game and like think Oregon overlooks it. It's certainly an opportunity for that, but I don't think Michigan State poses enough of a threat to really worry about that. But also, Idaho happened.
Short week, and see, the Idaho thing, they have figured out their offensive
not
line.
Not shooting themselves in the foot.
Well,
the
no, it's, the offensive line is the biggest thing there. I mean, the Idaho game in the first half of Boise State, that offensive line rotation has not played since then, and they have been a different team.
Everybody's good now, right? Bedford's back?
No.
No.
He got injured during the bye week.
Oh, that's right.
And he's been working his way back. And I don't know about Dave Iuli, but they have been that same rotation. And I think there was one play where Nashad Strother helmet came off, and it was Kavika Rogers who came in to the game for the one play against UCLA, which is a different twist, too, because Poncho was moving over to guard in the event that any of the guards had to leave. this past week at UCLA, it was Kavika Rogers who came in, albeit for just one play, but that was a shift and a change in something that Oregon had done. I think that when you look at Aiden Childs too, and the kind of the way that he has performed, as you're saying, like, I mean, we talk about this all the time we talked about this with the Ashton Gentry, right? You would like to take those games away, but you can't.
Yeah, no, 100%.
You know, like, yeah. I mean, that's a lot of interceptions to be throwing.
But I mean, but that, saying, like, he has when thrown he spirals, a pick.
Yeah, it's been really bad. And I think the only game he has not thrown a pick, if I'm correct, it's against Prairie View A&M. But he's thrown an interception in every game.
Correct.
Other than that one.
Yes.
That is where you need to take care of the football. Mm-hmm. I mean, awesome. You didn't do it against Prairie View A&M, but you have two games with multiple picks, and you have at least one interception in two others.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and that's wild
young,
to me, man.
It's young quarterbacks.
And I will be really interested to see, because it could be receiver-related, too. Not every pick is created equally.
You get tips, batted balls,
yep.
Guys not running right routes, timing off, and all those things.
If there is something that has given Oregon problems, athletic quarterback has, and we know he can move too.
That man gets outside the pocket. It's, you know, that's another story. Come in next. We'll keep it in college football because it's not the best slate of college football we've ever seen, but there's some good stuff in there. And we'll dive through the rest of those come up here next. But first, here's the Big Kahuna Sports Center update.
You ever had a Big Kahuna burger?
October 12th, that's the college football weekend we're all waiting for.
Yeah, buddy.
This weekend slate isn't bad, though. This isn't week three of the college football season. We're going, oh my God, this is horrendous. We do have one top 25 matchup.
Yeah, I think it is a turd burger this weekend.
I was trying to paint a little bit better.
I mean, I want more matchups that matter.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
And our top 25 matchup is... I mean,
we get to see if Missouri's for real, in a sense.
Our measuring sticks, Texas A&M.
I mean,
they go on the road to Texas A&M 9 versus 25
again. But what's the key there? What is a very, very, very difficult place to play?
Allen Field.
No, come on, that place is nuts.
I mean, I saw
it's a cult.
I saw Notre Dame go there and wax them.
Yeah, fair.
To start the year, then remember what happened to Notre Dame.
But remember,
let me introduce you to Northern Illinois.
But remember, that game wasn't nobody looked good in that game.
I know, and they lost by double digits.
Just saying. But this is what this is Missouri's. Isn't this the
when we they lost to a quarterback that can't throw?
This is their. They have Alabama and Oklahoma after this. That's basically the entirety of their schedule of Arkansas at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of a make or break. For Missouri, they have to win this game and then split the Alabama-Oklahomas.
How is Texas A&M ranked 25th?
Because they came into the season with that.
Okay, but they lose to Notre Dame and they dropped out, right?
They have since beaten McNeese, Florida, scraped by Bowling Green, and scraped by Arkansas. Which, I will say, Arkansas is a feisty little team.
I'm not saying
that to give... A&M credit. I'm saying that to give Arkansas some credit. They are a feisty little team.
No. Come on. This is not the Arkansas of like 2 years ago.
No.
They barely beat Auburn. They lost to Oklahoma State. And their other wins are against Arkansas Pine Bluff and University of Alabama Birmingham. Mm. The Fighting Trent Dilfers. But that gets you back into like, hey, watch out, this is going to be a measuring stick for Missouri. This is my thing about this game. Everybody is going to tell you, we're going to learn a lot about Missouri. You're going to learn a lot about them. No, you're not. You're not going to learn anything about them. Because Texas A&M, the only thing we will learn about Missouri is that, yeah, maybe they aren't ready. Because
A&M doesn't have a quarterback.
No. No.
Has there been anybody more disappointing than A&M's quarterback?
Connor Weigman.
Yeah. Because he came in with a lot of pomp and circumstances here. I mean, Riley Leonard's right there with him, but...
But we knew what Riley Leonard was.
He's a gamer, as opposed to a quarterback.
He's a gamer, he's a runner, he is durable, and he will just crush you. DJ Uiagalelei?
I think we knew who DJ was, but also
you know it's this bad.
Yeah, it's fair.
I mean, that was a top 10 team. One thing about Missouri, though, if you have not watched Missouri, oh, you're in for a treat. Brady Cook and Luther Burden are so damn fun to watch. That's their quarterback and their wide receiver. Luther Burden, five-star, probably one of the top receivers. I think he was the number one receiver recruit in the country when he came out of high school. He has lived up to the billing and lived up to the hype. He is a freak. And then they got this this dude, Theo Weiss, who also twitchy, can move. They got a fun little combo, but it starts with Cook and Burden on the outside. They are really damn fun to watch. And Burden is a big body, like traditional NFL receiver. He's so damn fun to watch.
If you look at a lot of the mock drafts for the NFL, he's a guy who, if you ever want to have kind of like wide receiver one, even with Travis Hunter,
yeah,
because of the pedigree of him. But again, that's we'll see what that looks like come March.
Yeah, he is like a little thick boy. He's not like, when I said big body, he's not like tall.
No, he's 5'11", but he's 210.
Yes.
Percy Harvin.
He's Harvin. Just
that's,
like...
That's what he is.
Gets open, muscles around, can beat you with speed. He's really
exciting. And even though he's under 6 foot, he will still go high point a ball. Like, yeah. He's
twitchy.
Yeah, he's a dude. Is there any other games on here you're like, that's a spicy little matchup?
I like Iowa. I think Iowa and Ohio State is interesting because Iowa does not have an offense that can compete with Ohio State, but what their defense does is create turnovers. And if you look at a game stylistically, who would you want to play, have Ohio State play before you play them? I'm pretty sure Iowa's kind of that team, right? Physical up front, going to run the ball, smash mouth football. Iowa can't hold up to Ohio State right now, and I think they might be like 20-point dogs. But it's going to be physicality left and right. And then Michigan at Washington is interesting to me.
That one is interesting because Washington had no business losing.
No, outgaining your opponent by 200. I said this the other day. 220 yards. You have no turnovers. Mm-hmm. And you lose.
Mm-hmm.
Every single thing that Washington did said, yeah, they won that game, except for dumb penalties all over the field and then missing three field goals. And one of the dumb penalties negated a blocked field goal of yours. You blocked Rutgers' field goal, and then you get a penalty.
Here's the crazy thing about Washington.
Negating it.
Will Rogers is thrown for almost 1,400 yards. Is completing 75% of his passes. He's almost over 9 yards per attempt. He has a 10 touchdown to zero interception ratio. He has only been sacked 6 times. Their running backs, as a team, they are averaging over 5 yards per carry. Jonah Coleman is averaging over 7 yards per carry. And yet, they find themselves 3-2 because they have found and invented stupid ways to lose 2 games.
Well, yeah, and I think one of those stupid ways to lose games was running the option
at the goal line. Yeah.
But there's also this, they're not good in the red zone. And
clearly, I mean, whether it's the option there or the multiple blown opportunities against Rutgers.
But there is something to, I would love to see what, like, Will Rogers' red zone efficiency ratings are.
We might be able to do that in the break.
Because you're not turning these into points. And when the field condenses and the field gets shorter, he may be completing 75% of his passes, or nearly 75% of his passes, but where are you struggling the most? And right now, just from their red zone offense and what we saw against Rutgers on Friday night, that would probably be the place where that is happening the most. So
Washington, they need,
but I think they could beat Michigan.
Look, you saw Minnesota. They should have beat them. That flag was ridiculous.
Ooh, Big Ten is changing where their officials line up
because
on onside kicks because of that onside kick in the Michigan-Minnesota game.
Yes. Absolutely ridiculous. Oh, no way. Michigan benefited from the officials for multiple weeks in a row? Shocking. Truly shocking. Washington needs this game, though. They do need this game. Like, after losing the way you did to Rutgers, losing the way you did to Washington State...
Well, that might be who you are.
You think so?
Well,
yeah.
I mean, if it happens again and again, It's pretty telling. And that's why they have the importance of this game.
Washington
is
favored by a point and a half.
Yeah. And that number has actually gone down.
It was 2.5, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was at 2.5 at one point. And Washington should be favored. Michigan can't throw a football. They can't.
No. No.
They are one-dimensional. I think Steve Belichick is going to have a menacing game plan to go against Michigan. It's just, what is your depth like? Will you wear down? Can you get out of your own damn way? Those are the keys for Washington taking on Michigan.
Are you worried about Ole Miss against South Carolina?
No.
Well, and then obviously the college game day game.
I mean, that could be a fun game, though.
I think South Carolina is better than people think.
But this is what Lane Kiffin does is you have those head-scratcher games, and then he goes out and just absolutely mops the floor with his next opponent. And you're like, oh, well, I guess they might be back.
Miami-Virginia Tech was wildly drunk.
Yeah. What did you think of the catch and at the back of the end zone?
I am in the staggering minority of thinking. Number one, they should not have. I mean, I think everybody should have called that. It should have absolutely been called incomplete originally. But I do think there was enough video evidence to overturn it in the sense of in the one angle from the side that shows the ball in the wide receiver's lap. But his arm not around it, and then pop up and touch the defender who is out of bounds. That to me goes, he's out of bounds. He's touching the ball. It's done.
Yeah, which is what the ruling was.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I think a lot of people are like, well, if it was whatever it was ruled on the field, I don't know how you overturn it. That was everybody kept saying.
Pretty clear.
I thought so too. I was like,
I didn't think it was a catch in real time, and I was okay with them ruling it a touchdown because then you can review it. You can go look
at it.
Because if you didn't, that's
but those camera angles were tough. There were not enough good angles to really give you something, which makes that dicey. But knock the ball down, guys, for the love of God.
He went up and owned it. He almost got it.
Yeah, he did. I will say, Cam Ward, in that first half, I thought he was going to Cam Ward real bleeping hard.
He still did.
Well, I mean, his second half, he made some incredible plays.
Yeah. That was a very stupid decision when he was getting sacked and flipped the ball. It worked out for them.
It worked out.
This
is a trend, man. Quarterbacks going down and finding that flip.
Yeah, how many times have we seen that go completely the wrong direction? And like those are the Cam Ward plays where you're like, oh, that worked. But first half was, oh, this is awful.
The interception really he had bad. Was which.
He'll do this. He will have a
unbelievably
stretch.
Unbelievably bad.
He has had it every year he started.
Can he avoid that and not screw up at Cal this weekend?
Yeah, and if he can get it back on the rails, but Miami, yes, they are going to win the ACC with ease.
Yes.
As it is right now, though, Cal coming for that crown.
Spicy.
Let's go.
That Cal ACC title.
Come on. Marshawn Lynch, guest picker.
That's vibes all the way. Speaking of vibes, we'll end today's show with a little sage wisdom and thoughts from Mr. Crabman himself, Jameis Winston, to come up here next year on Danny and Dusty, Tinny and the Fan. I hope that when Jameis Winston retires from playing football, that he gets thrown on a TV show.
He's a legend.
Because he's just off the rails enough to where he's, even when it's very stupid, everybody's laughing along with him, not at him. Does that make sense?
Yes.
There's a jovial goofiness to him.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, you're like, yeah. Which is why I think his teammates like him, even though he says incredibly stupid stuff.
I think it says a lot about the Cleveland Browns that, like, Jameis Winston is their hype man.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not Deshaun Watson who's giving the pregame speech before they go out.
Yeah.
I mean, Jameis is a different bird, but...
Eating the W.
He's also... I mean...
Drop some rare gems.
Yes, including his thoughts. Now, I don't think he's wrong about this. Mm. I don't think he's wrong about this. He's got a theory. And it's all born out of him being asked about receivers from the state of Texas like Mike Evans.
So, I think Texas receivers, I feel like... They're different, but Mike is different. Mike is from Galveston. I always tell this to people, and this is something that me and my trainer talk about a lot. If you are born around water, like, you have a different way of life, you function differently, and I just feel like you function differently because water has no soul. You know, it doesn't discriminate against anybody. You get in that water, it's going to take you wherever it goes.
Yeah.
So I feel like people that are around water, they are very strong will. They're one with water.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And Mike is from Galveston. If you've been to Galveston, Galveston is known for, you know, I don't know what they're known for because I'm not from there, but I know they have a beach. You know what I'm saying? And it's not a pretty beach.
No, they're known for oil. There's it's some of the dirtiest sand in America.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's not a pretty beach. So Mike is from that muck.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It might be oil muck.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But it's still muck.
I think he's onto something.
I mean, it's...
Coasties are all different.
No, you're not wrong. It's... I don't know if being raised next to water is any different or not. I mean, Portland is on a river, and it is very weird.
Yeah. Rivers, I think, are a little different than... I think maybe we should just amend this to salt water. Like, salt water
salties.
Is different.
Salties.
Coasties. Yeah. You know, you head out to the Oregon coast, and you're like, these are different people. You know? You go down Galveston. I love how he says, like, Galveston. It's like, you know, in Galveston, they're known for, well, I don't know what they're known for. It's oil. Like, it's just, all it is oil.
I love that he just confidently says things, and then he just, like, nah, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, but also in the way he says water.
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 It's all. Yeah. It's almost like British English. Instead of water, it's like a slowed down version of water. It's water.
But I think he's also correct in this. The water has no soul. It does not matter. It's equal opportunity.
Basically saying it'll kill you no matter what.
That's also where I say he is correct about the ocean.
Yes.
Like, the ocean is
Riptide
a scary place.
Look, man.
It is non-discriminant.
Yeah. And the
I mean, down there in Galveston, that's the Gulf, but...
And they have, what do they call it? What do they call
it? Well, I'm talking about the ocean, period. I'm just saying he's correct on all of it.
They have a thing, it's called a reckoning or something like that, that happens every, like, 20 years on the coast.
What?
No, and, like, all of, like, the sea life, like, flushes up and dies, and, like, you can come up and grab it.
Oh, sweet.
It's the craziest thing. But, yeah, I'm like, that's where I'm like, yeah, I think he's onto something.
Yeah.
I think he's onto something.
Jameis Winston.
The wisdom of Jameis Winston.
Our idiot savant.
That's the most accurate assessment possible.
All right. Up next, you got 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's prime time with Isaac and Suk. Hey, have a great weekend. We'll
see
you
nerds on
Monday. Great 2-day work week by Danny here.
Putting in the hours, baby.
Tomorrow we'll be on the air from noon until 2.
I will be at Blazers training camp.
Bum, bum, bum. Tomorrow. All right. We'll see you on Monday right here on 1080 The Fan.
Bye.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.